Psalm 19, please. Psalm 19. We're going to read one verse, and that is verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7 and verse 8. I know you believe me when I say this, but I want to just confirm, and I'm not a magician. I'm not saying there's nothing up my sleeve. But I promise you, with my hand to this Bible, your pastor and I, we never speak to each other, very, very rarely, maybe once, twice a year, what God's laid upon our heart for a certain service. But, and just so you'll know, I always have something ready. But usually we wait on the moving of the Holy Ghost. Calvin Ray sometimes will let me know during the week. Sometimes, like today, it was after right after church. Can you preach tonight? And I said, sure, I'm ready. So we never talk to each other what we're going to preach. So I said all that to say this. The sermon I have tonight is almost a piggyback of what he was preaching this morning. And God doesn't do anything by accident, right? And you'll find that in the message. This thought has been on my mind for months. And just wait on the right time, the right season, the right service to share it with you. And what has happened to us this week, to my family, and to some of our close friends this week, God said today is the day. Months ago, I was actually listening to a post-game interview. I can't even remember the situation now, but the team had lost and they were interviewing the coach. And he made this statement and it just stuck to me. He said, you know what? We look perfect on paper. He said, we look perfect on paper and we were supposed to beat this team on paper. And he kept saying that over and over. We look perfect on paper. And I didn't hear anything else he said after he said that because I made a mental note of it and then I wrote it down because, you know, the older you get, you got to write stuff down, right? And I got to say this before I move on. I started with Calvin Ray and the girls 2001. And when I first went there, of course, that was however many years ago, right? I didn't write anything down because I thought I'll remember it. And they just laughed at me. One of these days you'll write stuff down. Well, I hit that day a long time ago. And so I wrote that down, perfect on paper, perfect on paper. And so, you know, in that context, the coach, he had it in a negative light. He was saying we were perfect on paper, but of course they ended up still losing the contest. But as I begin to think about that, there's really only one book that is perfect on paper. And then that's the book that we hold tonight. The book that our pastor preached about today in the book our pastors and we preach from. It's the perfect book. And the Bible says here in our text in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. If you weren't here this morning, our pastor preached about Job and the struggles that he went through. And the main struggle was he didn't have a book that he could go to that he could find comfort and assurance. But as our pastor said today, and I'll pick up right where he left off, I'm glad we have something that's perfect on paper. The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. Now the word perfect in this text, and you'll find not only in the Hebrew and the Greek, it's mentioned 94 different verses, but the Hebrew word is mentioned several different occasions in your Bible. It also means upright. It also means pure, undefiled, that same Hebrew word. But the Greek word and the Hebrew word perfect here is the same, and it means simply this, to be complete. To be complete. That means it doesn't need added to. It doesn't need taken away from. It's complete. From start to finish, it's complete. And I don't know about you, but there is nothing on this world that has been made by man that is perfect from beginning to end. I'm talking about complete. The only thing that we know that is perfect, thank God, came from heaven, and that is the precious book that we hold tonight. The law of the Lord, it is perfect. And so I want to look at several places that this word is mentioned and find just how perfect and complete the word is. Number one, I want you to notice scripture is perfect. James 1:25 says this, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The end of James chapter 1 talks about the importance of the word of God and about being not only a hearer, but a doer of the word. And he says, reiterating again, almost referring to what David was saying here in this psalm, whoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. May I remind you once again, scripture is perfect. It is complete. The Bible even warns that if you take away or add to, there shall be terrible evil that'll come upon you. But I'm so thankful tonight. What we have here was meant for us to have. From Genesis to Revelation, everything we need, we can find in this precious book, in the Holy Scriptures, because Scripture is perfect. Charles Spurgeon said, nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. Martin Luther said, the Bible is the cradle wherein Christ was laid. A.W. Tozer said, the word of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection. And we must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. Abraham Lincoln said, I am profitably engaged in reading the Bible. Take all of this book that you can buy reason and the balance of faith, and you will live and die a better man. It is the best book which God has given to man. And John Wesley said, I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He has written it down in a book. Carrie, you needed this quote this morning. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be a man of one book. Hallelujah. Scripture is perfect. It is complete. And no matter what you face, thank God there is a scripture that you can go to that'll help you. Aren't you thankful tonight that we have the perfect law of liberty? It is found in the holy word of God. Amen. And when I've needed it, I've dove into it, and it's been there. When I needed encouragement, I can flip just a few chapters over from this and I can read, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade on thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I'm telling you what, folks, scripture is perfect. It's complete. I've got to move on because I have several points. I want you to notice that for the child of God, our steps are perfect. Our steps are perfect. Psalm 18:32 says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Romans 12:2 also says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He is telling us in these two scriptures that the child of God, our steps are perfect. They are complete in God. When we stay in his will, when we are in the center of God's will, let me just say this, there's no better place to be for a child of God than in the center of God's will. It doesn't mean you won't be facing storms right now. It doesn't mean you may not be going through trials or circumstances, but hallelujah, if you're in the center of God's will, your steps are ordered by God and they are perfect and they are complete. It may not look like the direction you're going may not be where you want to go. But listen, as long as you trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. Why? Because, thank God, your steps are perfect. Hallelujah. We never know from one day to the next what we're going to face. But if we trust in him, he tells us that he will take all things that we do and work together for good, right? Some of you know this, what happened to our family this week and for the last couple of weeks. My grandmother fell. She broke her ankle. Thank you for praying for her. And she was in the hospital a few weeks ago suffering from a stroke. And so they were doing therapy. And she got home and was doing better. And she wanted to go to church so bad. And the leg that she was working on, her the bad leg that she didn't have feeling in, it gave out from under her. She broke her ankle. And she ended up having surgery on that. And she's in therapy now. And she's doing great. She's doing better. But she still needs prayer. So we appreciate 91 years old. She not only wants to go home, but she wants to go home. And so we're trying not to let you know, her heart outrun her head. She still has a lot of life left in her, we believe. And I'm a little selfish. I want Mamma to stay here. And so, but anyway, so we, you know, we often wonder why in the world would, you know, God allow her to go back into the hospital to have surgery and then go back into therapy again. And for those of you that have ever dealt with therapy, not because they're just bad, we have a great therapy down at SOMC, but it's sometimes difficult to get into. You have to meet certain criteria. And especially after Mamma was already there, we were even concerned if she could even get back into therapy. And so God allowed her to get back into therapy. And so she was thankful for that because she really enjoyed that, enjoyed the people that worked there, a lot of Christians that worked there on that floor. So she was happy. And so she was going through therapy. And well, she found out that there was a young man, to her, but a family friend of ours for many, many years, that had been in the hospital for quite a long time and very sick. And we'd been praying for him. Most of all, he needed to be saved. And so while Mamma was in therapy a few weeks ago, he was in therapy as well. And they had struck up a conversation talking about things. Like I said, we've been family friends for many, many years. And so that's about all it ended up. Well, the Lord just spoke to Mamma and said, why don't you find out what room he's in and go and speak to him. So my cousin Tyson, which is her grandson, and we always say he's her favorite, and everybody knows that anyway. But so Tyson was there staying with her, and she said, Tyson, find out what room he's in. And so he found out what room, and she went down to speak to him. And so they struck up a conversation, and before you know it, Mamma started talking about the Lord, about how he needed to be saved. And we've been praying for this man for years, a great family. One of his brothers, he was even a pastor in our area, in our community. And so she sang a song to him and began to speak to him. And Tyson was there, and they began to pray and asked him if he wanted prayer. And he said he wanted prayer. And so after they got done, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into his life. And it was a man that we've been praying for years and years and years. And so my cousin called my uncle Scott and told him. And so Scott called their family to let them know what had happened. And he had already called their family and let them know that he had gotten saved. So that's how you know someone's got the goods, that they're telling everybody what happened to them. And so my mom texted me and said, you ain't going to believe it. You ain't going to believe what happened. And I said, Mom, that's exactly why Mamma had to be in the hospital at that very time, at that very week. Why? Because God knew that Dallas Powell would be in another room and Mamma Lowell would be in this room and they would get hooked up together. And you say, Brad, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Her steps were perfect. God ordered those steps. And tonight, because her steps are perfect and his steps are perfect, hallelujah, man is going to heaven. Why? Because thank God, God is perfect. Complete. His steps, our steps are perfect. What else is perfect? We can have perfect serenity if we're a child of God. Isaiah 26:3 tells us that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Now this is an area when many people, this is what they want and crave. Even a child of God, we just want peace. We want peace. A peace where there seems to be no peace. And you say, well, Brian, how do I get that peace? This word tells us God can give us perfect peace when our mind is stayed on thee and we trust in thee. What's that mean? No matter what the situation we'll go through, you may be going through it right now. You may go through it this week, or you may go through it next month or next year. But I promise you, whatever you go through, if you're in the center of God's will, you can have perfect peace right in the middle of that storm. Many years ago, I preached about the eye of the storm. And if you look at the eye of a hurricane, right in the middle of that storm, right in the middle of that hurricane, hurricane, there's a distinct eye. And right in the middle of that storm is perfect peace. There's no storms. Oh, there's only sunshine that goes through that eye. You say, Brian, what are you talking about? Jesus said, be not afraid. I am the eye of the storm. Thank God if we stay with him, he will keep us in perfect peace. A peace the Bible calls that passeth all understanding. I'm sure you have friends that don't know the Lord that look at you, that you're, the things you're going through right now, and you say, how are you doing it? How are you making it? You can tell them, because I got perfect peace. I got perfect peace. What else? Not only do we see perfect scriptures and perfect steps and perfect serenity, but also we have a perfect Savior. We do. Oh my, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You say, well, wait a minute, Brian. You're talking about gifts. You're not talking about the Savior. Oh, no. Let's look into it just a little bit further. If you look at this and break this down a little further, James is separating these gifts. He says every good gift and every perfect gift. See, because what he's referring to in the Greek here, every good gift is every daily benefit that God takes care of us with. Our daily provision, our daily supply. He says everything that we receive on a daily basis, the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, everything, everything common to man, it comes from him. And aren't you thankful? We know where our help comes from. But not only does he say every good gift, but then he separates it. Every perfect gift. Because the gifts he's talking about, first of all, are continual. But in, when he says every perfect gift, he's talking about one gift that happened one time. And you know who I'm talking about. Who was the perfect gift? I'll tell you who the perfect gift was. Hebrews tells us, and being made perfect, woo, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, a perfect Savior. He's the perfect gift that cometh from above. Hallelujah. And that leads us right into our next point. Not only does he give us a perfect Savior, but he gives us perfect salvation. It's complete. It's perfect. It came from him. It started with him. But see, before Jesus came, it wasn't perfect. They had to bring a perfect sacrifice. You'll read in Leviticus that word's found over and over and over again. Unblemished, perfect sacrifice. It's the same word. They had to bring that every single year. But it only atoned for their sins one year. That's not a perfect sacrifice, in my opinion. But when Jesus came... Hebrews says, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second with the high priest alone, once a year, not without blood, which he offered up for himself and for the heirs of the people. But Christ, being come a high priest of greater things to come, by a greater and more perfect, I need a Bible reader, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither with the blood of goats and calves. I wish someone would shout, but by his own blood, entered once into the holy place. Here it is, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. Thank God, salvation is perfect. Glory to God. Maybe this is only going to bless me tonight. But I just can't imagine that every year. And I know we repeat it over and over and over, but every year they did it and did it and came back and came back. And they had to do it over and over and over again. But thank God when Jesus came, he was the perfect sacrifice and brought perfect salvation. Glory to God. And you can have that salvation. A perfect Savior gives us a perfect salvation. But what else does he give us? He gives us perfect strength. Perfect strength. Remember when Paul prayed three times that the thorn would be removed? What's your thorn you're dealing with tonight? How many times have you prayed for it? For that thorn in your flesh? And we know what it was. It was a messenger of Satan. It tells us in that next verse. Messenger of Satan was sent every day to buffet him, hit him in the face. Every day of his life, he got up, Jamie, boom, 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 devil was punching him right in the face. And he said, God, get him out of the way. Remove him. You know how we do. I rebuke him in Jesus' name. That'll work for today maybe, but tomorrow, boom, boom, boom. He's constantly fighting the child of God. And God said, I won't remove it. But he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Some of the greatest people that I would hold in high esteem as some of the greatest Christians in all the world have had to suffer more than anybody I could ever imagine. The power of God was in their life and on their life. You know what they said? They resolved to the fact, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that God's strength would be made perfect in my weakness. This past week, we had some dear friends of ours in our community that had a very, very unique house fire. It's something you can't even imagine or write down, something like off of a movie. Two young men were driving a truck. You may have seen it on the news or may have heard about it on the newspaper. But they were driving a truck, and started catching fire. So they got out of the truck and went down to find some help and came to this couple's house, and the wife was there with her parents. And from what we understand, they were getting Thanksgiving plans together. And as they were talking to these men, I may not get all the facts straight, but I know the important things of what happened. The truck exploded and propelled forward like a rocket and went right into that couple's house and burnt their house to the ground. And you say, well, that's awful. Well, they had just in 2012 had another electrical fire that their house had burnt down as well. So within the span of just a few years, this couple, precious couple, Christian couple, have had to face the fire twice. And the next morning, I woke up and sent them a message. I gave them the scripture out of Isaiah. The flame shall not kindle upon thee. And try to give him some scripture. And he sent scripture back. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I knew God would somehow through all this help them and give them strength. They're a little bit younger than me, have a couple of kids at Northwest, and community rallied and helped them, and churches are helping them, and I know they appreciate everything. But the day after, they were going through the wreckage, going through the house, and just it was just devastation, total loss. And he took a picture, and Ryan, do you care? I don't know if you can see it or not, but right in the middle of their house. Woo. Right in the middle of devastation, the cross stood firm, and the cross stood. And you know what it gave him? It gave him perfect strength. A mother and kids that lost everything, a father lost everything, they could still have strength, knowing that God's ways are higher than our ways. Aren't you thankful that in times like those, God can make his strength perfect? Perfect. Well, we know the scriptures are perfect. We know our steps are perfect. We know we can have perfect serenity. We have a perfect Savior. We have perfect salvation, and God can give us perfect strength. But finally, as Howard comes with the song, the second coming is going to be perfect. 1 Corinthians 13:9, verse 10 says, for we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come. I'm going to read that again. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. One of these days, everything's going to be perfect. And what I mean by that is everything's going to be complete. The last song will be sung. The last sermon will be preached. The last sinner will be saved. The last name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he will say, it's perfect. And when that which is perfect is come, what we know in part will be done away. I wonder tonight, I wonder if that last name will be written down tonight. I wonder if the last song that will ever be sang will be sang here in a few moments. So let me ask you, is your life perfect? Ryan, my life isn't perfect. No, you're looking at it through secular eyes. I'm talking about spiritual. Is your life complete? If not, God has a perfect Savior with a perfect plan that can save you and complete you in Jesus Christ.